Luke chapter number 2 in your Bibles. I'm aware of the time. I'm not going to be long tonight. And if you know me, that practically means nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I'll keep in mind of the time. Luke chapter number 2. And again, thank you all so much for being here tonight to support the young people as they sang. And just a great job. Luke chapter number 2. Beginning in verse number 25 and following, Luke chapter number 2, verse number 25 says this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of all thy people, Israel." A very familiar passage that we've come to in Luke chapter number 2. We're introduced to this man by the name of Simeon. Simeon reminds me of this time of year that I love so much. I love Christmas time. It brings back lots of memories. It brings by lots of good things. I remember as a child, my mom tells me that I fell asleep under the Christmas tree waiting to open up my stuff the next morning. I remember all these Christmas memories that come back. My mom's watching tonight, I think. But we, for a couple of years, every time in a row, my mom would, we'd all set up the Christmas tree and we'd put the lights on. And you know how it goes with putting the lights on. If one goes out, they all go out. It's frustrating. But she would put the lights on the tree and the ornaments on the tree. And inevitably, for some reason, every year the tree would fall over on top of my mom. And first we would race to see if she was okay. And then we would laugh really hard. Yeah, you're okay. And everything's good. And I love this time of year. Now, this time of year, Simeon had been waiting for quite some time. You see, he was a devout man. He was somebody who'd been promised the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming. And he'd been waiting. He'd been watching. And it gives me a reminder of this Christmas season, how we're promised gifts and we get these things for Christmas and we sit there and wait. You know how it goes. Somebody says, well, what do you want for Christmas? Now, if you're keeping count tonight, I want a set of M2 irons, tailor-made. You can get that at your nearest golf shop, just saying. Pastor said he was going to give me some lessons. No, he didn't have time for that. But it reminds us of somebody asking us, what do you want for Christmas? And we say, well, I hope I can get this, or I want that, and this type of thing, and that type of stuff. And we wait for it. And we wait with anticipation. We can't wait to open up the package. We can't wait to rip off. Some people, they very neatly take the wrapping paper off. They save the bows for next year. And some of you are like that. Not like me. I go into the gifts just like I'm going into a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I just, boom, it's open, you know. But we wait with anticipation for a gift. Simeon was waiting with great anticipation for the promise that he had been given. He was waiting. He was watching. He was worshiping. The Bible talks about in verse number 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He could not wait to get the gift that God was sending him. As the young people sang so beautifully, you don't need me to repeat the message, but I'm going to repeat it anyways, that Jesus was born to die. And the life of Simeon reminds me tonight of some great truths that we can learn again from Christmas. I'm going to preach on something tonight that probably all of us have already heard, but you know what? It's worth getting excited about all over again. I don't need to remind you that Christmas is not about the stuff that we get. It's not about the presents. All those things are nice and we come together. We have family coming together. We have lots and lots of food. Thank you for everybody who's dropped off some kind of cookie or something into the office. I set out a goal to lose 25 pounds. I only have 30 to go. So thank you for all the food and everything. But we're reminded that Christmas is not just about stuff and it's not just about presents, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you tonight that God is not a part of the big picture. He is the big picture. And Simeon here reminds us tonight of some things we can get excited about. First of all, tonight, I want you to consider this. There's a reminder of God's promises. Look, please, at verse number 26. The Bible says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." When we come to this time of year, I want you to be reminded and remember about God's promises. We are reminded that the book of the Bible, the Word of God, is a book that's been given to us. It's been written over a period of 1,400 years, three different continents, 40 different authors, and yet it has one message. And the Old Testament reminds us, it pictures somebody is coming. You go from Genesis all the way to Malachi, and the Bible talks about somebody who's coming to be a sacrifice for our sins. God makes His promises. Today, for this Christmas season and for the whole year, you can be excited and you can be glad and you can be thankful for the promises of God. God makes promises. And we find out that God makes these promises. What did He promise? He promised His presence. Aren't you glad today as a Christian that the Bible says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you? He's going to be with you. The Bible says that He is with us. Aren't you grateful for the promised presence? Aren't you grateful for the promised redemption? I'm reminded what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." God promised redemption. God promised us, He promised us His presence. He promised us His redemption. And He promised us a residence in heaven. I like it. God's Word is full of promises. And if Christmas can teach us anything tonight, is that God makes promises. He makes big promises. But secondly tonight, not only are we reminded of His promises, but we have the realization of God's provision. God makes the promise, but then God keeps His promise. Aren't you glad tonight for a God who says what He means, and He means what He says, and He keeps His promises every single time? I want you to look, please, at verse number 27 of our text tonight. In Luke chapter number 2, the Bible says this, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." I love that God said something in His word, and Simeon walks away, said, "It was according to thy word." He realized the promises of God. Christmas can teach us that God makes promises, but God also makes provision for those promises. He doesn't make empty promises tonight. He keeps His promises. And Simeon is realizing the promises of God. He's realizing the provision of God. He finds out through the Word of God that Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus was personified in the New Testament. We find that He was virgin born, that He lived a virtuous life. And Simeon is holding baby Jesus right there. And I'm sure he's thinking in his mind that God made a promise and God keeps His promise. You know, it doesn't have to be this time of year that we just remember that God promises and God provides for those promises. That can be a year-round thing, you know that? No matter how good or bad the year may or may not be, God promises and God keeps those promises. It doesn't matter about the circumstances that surround you. It doesn't matter how high or low the bank account might be. It doesn't matter how high or low the bills might be. I'm telling you, God promises and God keeps those promises. Simeon's realizing here in this text tonight that God made him a promise that he was going to see the Savior before his life was over. And we find feet to that promise. God kept His promise. A reminder of God's promises, a realization of God's provision. Thirdly tonight, very quickly, we find the revealing of God's plan. Look again, please, at verse number 30. The Bible says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten," you ready for this? "The Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Salvation. A light to lighten the world. I'm so glad for salvation. Listen, I hope that you never get over your salvation. Never get far from the place where you accepted Christ as your Savior, where you realized that you were in darkness, but God wanted to bring you to light. Never get far away from the place where you realized that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God sent His Son that He might die for you, that you might have eternal life. You've been passed from darkness unto light, from death unto life. This is what God does, and this is God's plan for this world. He sent His Son to die for the world. And listen, I know you've heard it a whole bunch of times, especially in a church like ours that preaches the gospel. You've heard about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but don't ever get over that wonderful gift that He's given to you and I. Never get far from the place where you got saved. Think about it daily. We're reminded that Simeon was holding salvation in his hands, the person of salvation, that Jesus, He came to this earth, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're reminded, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. We're reminded, for in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's the salvation that has been purchased for us, and that's why Jesus came to this earth. Don't get far away from that truth. It's so easy around this time of year to get distracted. We think about everything that's going on, what sales are going on. I need the newest Apple thing, or some of you got the Android thing. I don't even know about all that stuff. I just want a phone that does what I want it to do when I want it to do it. But we get distracted by so many things. But don't get far away from the place where Jesus saved you and realizing this is what this time of year is about. Find that Jesus was vilified for our sins. He was crucified. He was glorified. He was risen from the dead. And we think about Simeon. We can be reminded of all these things. Simeon, he was reminded of God's promises. He realized God's provision, the revealing of God's plan. Look again at verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Aren't you glad tonight that the Bible says the Gentiles? You know what? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Jesus came to die for this world, and that's a wonderful truth. Don't get over that truth. We find reminder of God's promises, realization of His provision, or revealing of His plan. Fourthly tonight, very quickly, the receiving of God's payment. Verse 30 says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I don't want to take for granted tonight that there might be somebody in the room tonight or somebody watching on the internet that you have never received that gift. Listen, it's fun to get gifts during Christmas. Again, my mom used to tell me, you fell asleep under the Christmas tree waiting to open your presents. But you know what? The amazing thing about a gift is that it is a gift. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't earn it by any works that I have done. There's nothing I could do to deserve it. But somebody that loved me purchased it for me. And the only thing that I had to do was receive it. That is the same way you receive God's gift of salvation, by faith. You can't do anything for it. You can't be good enough to receive it. You can't give enough money. You can't pray enough times. You can't do enough good things. But God says, if you'll call upon His name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you receive that gift, He promised that He would save you. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're one of the kids that just sang a moment ago in the songs. But you've never been saved. You've never been born again. Jesus is offering that gift to you. All you have to do is reach out and receive it by faith. Faith, as a little child, reaches out and they don't do anything to earn the gift, but they take it because it's been offered for them. And that is the gift that God has offered for us. Simeon was sitting here and he had the payment in his hands, the person of salvation, the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born to die. The receiving of God's payment. Lastly, very quickly tonight, we've talked about the reminder of God's promises, the realization of God's provision, the revealing of God's plan. He was come to die for us. The receiving of God's payment. Have you been born again? Are you saved tonight? And then lastly, the reflection of our praise. What are we supposed to do with this information? I hope tonight that your heart is full of gratitude. What are you supposed to do with the information that we received tonight from Simeon, that there was a promise and that there was provision and that there was a plan and that there was payment, all these things? You should reflect it in the way that you live your life. You should reflect it in the way that you live your life. We find out through the New Testament that Jesus was virgin born. He lived a virtuous life. He died for us a vicarious death, and then he had a victorious resurrection. Knowing all these truths ought to take our lives and change them. The pastor preached on this morning, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're getting to the application tonight. What are you going to do with the gift that God has given to you? What are you going to do with those promises that God has promised you? What are you going to do with the provision that God has provided for you? What are you going to do with the gospel, that plan that God has given to you? What are you going to do with your salvation? What are you going to do with that gift? It ought to change our practices. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, as a Christian, somebody who's been born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You ought to live like God has taken up residence in your life. I'm reminded of the story of the 5-year-old kid who just got saved. And he was so excited to get saved. He went to his dad. He was curious. He said, Dad, how tall was the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think? And the father paused just a second. And he said, well, I don't know, son. I suppose that Jesus was 6 foot tall. And the kid's eyes got big as saucers. Wow. If Jesus was 6 foot tall and he lives inside of me, he has no way but just to stick out of me so everybody can see. You know what? That might be a simple truth, but it is a real truth. If you have somebody like Christ living on the outside, he should come out on the outside. The gift that God has given you should be shown to everybody. I love it. When you get something that you really wanted, you like to show other people about it. Check out this new thing I got right here. Check out this new driver I got right here. Check out this new phone. Or some of you guys who remained unnamed, check out this new PlayStation that I got over here. I just want you to look at it. I want you to see it. And you don't have one, but I do. So ha ha on you, you know. No names. Andy. Excuse me. A little tickle there. But you get a gift. It's something that you wanted for a while. You tell people about it. Guess what so-and-so got me? Guess what I got myself for Christmas this year? And you talk about it. Here's all the specs and blah, 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 blah. But when you have a gift like salvation, you should tell everybody about it. Look what God did for me. We are having the classes on Saturday for the young people, the college kids, and I've been having a great time. I don't know if they've been having a good time, but I've been having a good time teaching them and listening to Andy tell all of his college stories and things like that. Just having a good time teaching people about how to share their testimony. And it's just amazing. It brought me back to the time I got saved. What an amazing thing God did in my life. Why should I not tell everybody about it? God's changed my life. If you're saved here today, God's changed your life. It should come out in our practices. It should come out in our perspective. We know that God is in control. He's the one that created the world with his words. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, we realize that God is powerful. He's in control through faith, that no matter what happens, that he promised that he would send his son and that he was going to be born of a virgin. And guess what? God provided. He did exactly as he said. So whatever circumstance you might find yourself in tonight, you can trust God's promises. It ought to change our practices. It ought to change our perspective. It ought to change our position. You say, what do you mean by that? You ought to give your life to Christ more and be settled where you are with Christ. Sometimes people jump back and forth and go different ways. Oh, today I'm going to serve Christ, but tomorrow it's a different story. It just depends on how I feel. Knowing all that God has done for you and for I and for me, we ought to be settled in our position to serve him, to live for him. This is the gift that God has given to us. Simeon reminds me that God promises. Simeon reminds me that God provides for those promises. Simeon reminds me of God's plan that he sent Jesus to die for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. Simeon reminds me of receiving that payment. Remember in verse 30, it talked about, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then I'm reminded, Simeon's story reminds me that I should reflect praise to God because he's so good. And tonight, that's my challenge for you, is to reflect the praise of God. If you're not saved, then get saved tonight. You can be saved. You can have your life changed. But remember this Christmas season that God promises, God provides. God has a plan. God sent His Son for our payment for our sin. And then with that, you should reflect praise to Him with your life every day, not just this time of year. Amen? Let's pray together, may we? Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the children that sang so beautifully just a moment ago, the instruments that played, all the workers that worked so hard to train them and work on this. Lord, I pray tonight that you would work. I pray that we reflect praise, that we wouldn't get over our salvation, that we would think much about it. This time of year means that Jesus was born in a manger so he could die on a cross, a lonely cross for our sin. Help us not to get over it. Lord, maybe a simple message tonight for sure, but a great truth. Lord, help us to reflect praise to you and in our lives, in our practices, in our perspective, we pray. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.